Each elevation of lake has a different efficiency curve. So if we're at elevation 304, for example, at Swan Lake, we follow this blue line, the most efficient spot would be 11.5 megawatts. So what we're trying to do right now, what we're discussing with you, Bob, is we want to run there. If we can run this thing at 94%, this is turbine efficiency only. This doesn't account for generator losses and other losses. Mm-hmm. But turbine efficiency is where we have control of. The other, we don't have no control over any losses. We can control megawatts, and we can maximize the amount of water that's wasted. And so here, we are going to operate in this efficiency zone. And by operating Swan Lake, in that zone, we can save upwards of 10%. I'm going to get into that here a little bit. The other thing is, we don't want to operate in the rough zone. Swan Lake has a rough zone. It's a reaction machine, which means that it's kind of like a propeller on your boat. And you, if you're ever running your boat, you kind of feel that's kind of the rough zone. You want to get out of that RPM range. Swan Lake has that. It's at lower RPMs. And we put provisions in the operations plan that we will not operate in that zone. It causes cavitation, it causes fatigue cracking on the generators, damage to the windings. It's not a good zone because it really shakes the powerhouse. It also affects other things. So we're not going to operate in that zone, and we don't want to. If we have to operate in that zone, it would be for a minimum amount of time. But we cannot be in that zone, and that's anything below 5.5 megawatts. So the models are showing we have to run at 5.4. On average, right, to maintain a lake like this. So the only way to do that, to run, in this zone, but yet and have this efficiency, is to turn them off for part of the day.
Yep. Makes sense.
Tyee's efficiency zone is significantly greater. I wanted to show you this. It looks a lot different because Tyee is an impulse machine and it has multiple needles. It has six different nozzles on it. And the nozzles actually will turn off as the generator goes down in megawatts, so that you have less nozzles and you have less resistance across. It opens the fewer nozzles up wider. You have less resistance across the fewer nozzles. But 90 to 92 and above is pretty much the full range of the generator. Looking at this thing, this is for two units operation, or for a single unit operation, it'd be 2.5 megawatt to 10 megawatt. That's their range. So these generators can operate in that and still stay above 90% efficiency. So in order to use Swan Lake and maximize 10% more water out of Swan Lake, it'd be wise of the agency to utilize the fact that Tyee is so efficient across a broad range to maximize Swan across its narrow range. I talked about that four-needle operation, that six-needle operation. What you see is the efficiency starts to drop off, and then they'll actually will drop two needles or two nozzles out, and you'll see it jump back up again. It's the benefits of impulse machines and just the design of Tyee in general. So section 7.3 is titled Optimizing Output. Right now, this is what we're doing. On average, during the day, we're sending 8 megawatts to Petersburg and Wrangell from Tyee, and we're sending the 5 megawatts from Swan Lake to Ketchikan, 4 or 5, somewhere in there. But the STI is closed. It's closed for business, has been. 82% efficient at Swan Lake. Unless we utilize Ketchikan diesel generators and try and maximize that, the challenge is with the piece of generator to catch a can running on time limits, we might not be able to do that. The use of 5 megawatts in the rough zone might be required unless we do something different. That would be utilizing Tyee. So if we use Tyee, in September of 2018, we had what we call a net zero operations. And in a net zero, we brought everybody back together. All the grids were together. And that really stiffens everything, because the smaller the island, the more likely a bird's going to affect you or feather. So the stronger you, the more grit you have, the stronger you are, the less frequency deviations you have, and the more resilient you are. In this scenario, 50% of the time, we can bring Swan Lake from 82% efficient to 93% efficient in turbine efficiency, gaining 11% if we operate Swan Lake 50% of the time, and for half the time, we run it at 10 megawatts. We send that 5 megawatts to Ketchikan, we send 5 megawatts to Petersburg or Rainbow. So before, we were sending 8 megawatts, we were running Taiyi at full on 8 megawatts, sending 8 megawatts to Petersburg or Rainbow. Now half the time we can run Taiyi at 3 megawatts, send 8 megawatts to Petersburg or Rainbow, and 5 megawatts would come from Swan. That'd be 20% of the time. Then we turn Swan off. With Swan off, there's no efficiency losses. 5 megawatts would then be returned from Petersburg or Rangel. They'd still get their 8 megawatts normal, but they'd run the generator to 13 megawatts, still in the high efficiency zone, and we'd send that water from Taiyi over to Swan Lake, that energy. This would gain 10% efficiencies. Looking at the results of that, first and foremost, net zero means no transfer of megawatt hours. You sum them over a day or two or a week, but you look at a single point, and like we did in September, there's no transfer of net megawatt hours, and so there's no real effect on the lakes as a function of additional dedicated or sales to the south or to the north. But Swan Lake gains 10% in efficiency. Just looking at that over 10 months, that would be 3,600 megawatt hours. Last year we really wanted 3,000. Just in 10 months we gained 3,600 just by doing this small thing and gained 10% at Taiyi. Section 7.4, any questions on that?
The intertie is closed right now.
Intertie is closed right now.
And we are not doing this.
We should restate that it's open.
Well, right, it's just
the,
not
the breaker's
yeah,
open.
It's shut off. It's open.
Right. Metaphorically, it's closed. I get that.
If it's open, it's
closed for business. The breaker's open.
So, what is keeping us from doing this right now, other than a board decision, if at all that's necessary?
2019 operations plan stated that the Taiyi would be curtailed to improvements. We did the net zero in 2017. Now, this is not a function of sales. It'd be a function of balancing lakes and
right. That's resources. What I'm saying. In my mind, curtailing means it's operating at net zero, but you're still using your lakes and your infrastructure to the maximum degree of efficiency.
Absolutely. That's all we wanted. We wanted to ensure the board understood that and that everybody was in agreement on that. Because if we start sending 5 megawatts from Swan Lake to the north during the day, everybody in Ketchikan is going to go, what in the world is SEPA doing? And then if you wake up at 3 a.m. and you look and you say, hey, why is SEPA sending Taiyi to the south at 5 megawatts? We wanted to have this forum here to state, we understand why they're doing it. It is absolutely necessary, and it's gaining efficiencies and what it's doing for the agency and us, because like I said, we're all in it together.
More people than the people in this room need to understand that.
Yeah.
So if we approve this plan today, you're going to start doing this tomorrow, right?
I'd say Monday. We got to run the models this weekend.
I was going to say, how about tonight?
Yeah.
Now that just that's
right now we're still running water. Because we're doing diesel. We're doing the same kind of thing, but we're doing it with Ketchikan diesels. But it's a real challenge because they're running their cats to do it, and so it's a for them. I think they end up having to run their. Andy can help me if I'm wrong, but they have a certain amount of hours they can run the rental diesels. But in order to even meet some of the stuff, they have to run past those hours. They got to pay a premium cost on that, and it just gets kind of ridiculous. Maybe Bob, you can speak.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, this is different for everybody.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer in my opinion. I mean, please go forth and conquer.
We will. We shall.
Well, I'm only one board member, sorry.
Section 7.4, we talked about optimizing output, and that was, when you say optimizing output, that's maximizing efficiency. If the generator's running, every drop of water that we can make into an electron and send as electricity, we want to do that. The other one is maximizing the utilization, and that is, we can't spill. Because even though we're in a drought now, and it seems like it's really hard to see tomorrow, SEPA's been long-term forecast and looking at over 100 years. We understand that it can change in a heartbeat, and we could be right back to where we were. And we will likely be there. We will likely be back to a rainy season at some point, if not at least a full year's worth or two, and then back to drought. But if we're in a continued below average cycle, anytime we get above average, we need to keep it. And we need to use it for when we're below average in a subsequent year. So going back to this chart we showed you before, we had 1996, 108 inches. Then boom, next year, 165 inches. And then 102 inches. So that 60 inches that we got could have been used to balance these two right here. And it could have been like having 3 years of 130, for example. And 130 is great. We'd be doing great if we got 130 inches.
Why don't you work on that,
huh? Do a rain dance? Kind of going a little further into this. Trey mentioned the tiny lake can hold 150 feet of water. Period. That's it. From 1250 to 1400, that's all it can hold. So,
didn't build a weir height.
The challenge is Peter Curtin Wrangell, they require 200 feet of water. So for a full year, if they're going to have tiny support the firm dedicated, the firm power requirements, we need rain. We can't have a year with no rain. Tiny wouldn't make it. Looking at this, if we have inflows that are consistent, and we get, for every gallon of water we use out of the lake, we get a gallon of water in the lake. And the lake is almost full. Let's say it's at like 1400. It wouldn't be moving. We provide Petersburg and Wrangell with their loads. And it looks like, you know, there's going to be more inflows on the horizon. We could send a megawatt. Let's say we send only 1 megawatt hour to Ketchikan. So we've said we're providing all the firm power requirements to Petersburg and Wrangell, and we decide we're going to send 1 megawatt hour. Then all of a sudden the rain turns off for the whole year. Now this is a theoretical situation, but this is case in point. Because Tide only has enough capacity to support 150 feet of water, and Petersburg and Randall needs 200 feet, that 1 megawatt hour that we sent would reduce that 90,463 to 90,462, and that'd be over dispatch. And that's a big concern, and that's a risk. And so that's a challenge with the agency here, is trying to balance that risk and mitigate it. Looking at it from another perspective, Tidy at 200 feet is about 100 inches of rain. So we need 100 inches of rain in a year to, I'm going to go back to that again. We need 100 inches of rain to meet the firm power requirements of Petersburg rain. 250 feet is 125 inches of rain. That would be 50 feet of available additional. And then 150 inches of rain, which is what we had for a 100-year average. That's 300 feet. That'd be 200 feet for Petersburg and Randall, and that's 100 feet that could be sold to south. So if we get anything above 150, we're spilling it tight, and that's been known. We've seen it year after year after year. And so when we're down here low, we need to capture it. If we're moving into a year like this, important. The only way to do that is if, let's say we start here and we get 300. Let's say we start at half lake, and we get to 300, there's no way to store that water here because the lake's already full, and so we can't store it, we can't use it, we waste it. But looking at this, at 50 feet, it's 21,500 megawatt hours, 100 feet is 43,000 megawatt hours, and 150 feet is 64,000 megawatt hours, if we could sell it or store it. So the numbers are pretty quick and easy to see that it matters, and it, without dispatch, then this is what would happen. We would sell. 2018, SEPA dispatched 75 feet from Taiyi. We talked about the 100 feet and the 50 feet and the 150 feet. We dispatched 75 feet from Taiyi to South, 32,000 hours, somewhere around there, and some change. That would be 200 dedicated. If we added the 200 dedicated at the Taiyi plus the 75 additional, and we divide that by two, because it's a 2-to-1, about 2 inches of rain equals a foot of lake. So 275 feet out of Taiyi, 200 from Petersburg Wrangell, 75 from Ketchikan, divide that by 2 inches per foot, we would need 137.5 inches of rain. We hadn't seen less than 140 inches of rain since 1999. So last year's plan was ultra conservative as well. We hadn't seen it in over 20 years. We had made the plan for 137.5, because we hadn't seen less than 140, and then we got 106. So that's the whole confidence thing, Lisa, that I was talking about. We've got moving for 20 years, and we got confidence, and now we've got a new confidence learning to do. As mentioned earlier, the only way to capture that water is to lower this. So right now it's low risk, but we need to make it so that as we get closer to this point here, the risk gets lower. And I'll tell you why. Because the rain comes here. So if we follow this curtailment curve and we follow it to a T here, and we get the rain, then as we get closer, we know there's no rain, there's no inflows here. So we know exactly the rate of draft. So we can take this and we can bring it down to draft at very, very little low risk, reduce this limit, and maximize utilization and maintain that facility. Last year, 24 foot deficit, we talked about that. I think I said 26. In my statement, I wanted to mention that it was actually 24 feet in deficit. That's equal to about 10,010 megawatt hours. We got about 3,000 reconciled in Swan Lake, which left SEPA to pay for the about 7,010 megawatt hours. So we've talked about megawatt hours, and this right here, the spilled energy from the slides before, 21,000 or 40,000, you know, that kind of stuff, that's a big deal. This is the kind of thing that will hurt the agency. High risk for spill at 30 feet. Eventually, it continues and will be spilled. So, at this point, it's required to shield the agency from future diesel payments unless written aviation or other means of risk mitigation can be instituted. That 30 feet is risk mitigation. So, unless we can figure out how to, like I mentioned earlier, maybe shift the water into Swan and use it for risk mitigation, water in Swan to balance and send it back to the north. Or we look at the curtailment curve only operating through the end of the year, and then we know exactly the draft rate of Taiyi, and the risk has been pretty much eliminated. There are certain things that we still are going to be looking at over the next 6 months, but for this operations plan for the next 6 months, it doesn't look like we're going to have a change for 2018. So the risk is low for spill, and that's what we're trying to do. We got to capture spill. This is going to continue.
Robert, can I interrupt you just a second? It goes back to a question I asked you earlier about at what point, I'm back to the guide curve now, but at what point along here, it seems to me from what you've told us, a number of criteria. One of them is you want to be more confident on your forecasting. That'd be one of your criteria. Two, you would want to be, you'd want to have some, either the reservoir refilled back to former levels, you know, your five-year level, before you make any change. And three, maybe your criteria would have to be that at some point out there, before, right after, before it starts dropping off, yes, and that there, then you would want to make some kind of, because as you said, you know the rate of fall. You'd want to make some kind of a change then, or forecast on how much water you wanted in there to protect those interests. Is that my thinking the wrong line?
100%. This is where this peak right here, that's December, that's in December. And so that's when where the new board, the new operations plan comes out. So that's the intent. It's in December, we're going to have a new operations plan, and we're going to discuss again how we, where we are. We might be up here. We're going to know how the next 6 months went, and we're going to know how we can make it and maximize this. And we'll have a whole new operations plan with new levels of confidence and new ways to maximize what we have in the lakes. Because I do see that what's going to happen is we'll see maybe 2 years of this drought, and we're going to see a really rainy season.
Oh, I agree.
And we might go right back to it.
Yeah. It seems to me, though, where you're going with this is makes sense is that somewhere along the line, in future for Geiger, it's going to get more sophisticated from the standpoint. I think you're going to have to do something like you're suggesting, because you know what the rate of draw is from the northern communities on this. So you can draw, you can make some decisions back earlier at what point at which you can take it down to reasonably confident.
I texted.
I agree. And what you're going to have to do is basically this Geiger right here.
Close.
Is going to have to, I'm going to have to do a multiple iteration where, and this is where the board is going to have an understanding that when you see that this is going to have to go down to the draft, the actual curves, and there'll be two parts. It'll be this part here, and then there'll be a second guide curve right here where it says, okay, we continue on this guide curve that comes up. This is how it goes. So now we've got high level confidence because there's no rain, there's no drought. Then we got a new guide curve that starts here and it goes down against the drought. So that's kind of the, and if I made it a single one, I don't think people would understand that it's a two-part curtailment curve. But that's the intent for coming up in December to say, hey, now that we've got confidence and we know that what the rate of drought is going to be. Other than even if a polar vortex comes in, and say, look, we have this contingency in there for that as well. We can get this thing to where we can do maximizing utilization. The next 6 months, hopefully we optimize output, and then in the next year, hopefully we can maximize utilization. Because we haven't done it. We haven't had the chance to. But when you spill every year, how do you maximize every water ounce of water out of the lake when you don't draft it more than 10 feet? Maximum utilization is drafting it in 1 year to save it for the next, to use it for the third, you know, and that's maximizing all the water in that lake.
Yeah, and I would end up with some kind of a probability curve that I think you can do later on with the data I believe you're collecting. But that's for down the road.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we went through this. Draft limits. Prior to this, prior to the power sales agreement, Ty didn't have a draft limit. Because there was no need. It was kind of a stranded asset. A single unit would provide all the power requirements for Peter's Ferry, right? It was one unit. So the lake spilled continuously. So there was no need for a draft limit because there was no way that it was going to be empty. So in prior to 2009, Tidy didn't have one. Swan had a, Ketchikan had kind of an operating protocol, but not necessarily a draft one. It wasn't officially adopted by the FDPPA. It was more kind of, this is swag a little bit on how we don't like to draft the lake more than 288, 290 somewhere. And it changed year to year depending on who was operating, but there was no official draft limit in Swan Lake either. But there was water that left in the lake. and that water was for diesel contingency. It's the only reason why we have a draft limit, is because we're afraid that if we have to operate diesels and one breaks, we'd have to go back and rely on what we have to fix, have time to fix our diesels. So that's what it is buys you something that they cost, which is blue water. After the power sales agreement in 2009, we began instituting draft limits, but we did it through the arm of the operations plan, because the power sales agreement does not state anything in it about draft limits. What it states in it is that the operations plan will discuss maximizing utilization, optimizing output, efficient dispatch, and other water management methods. But we did put in a draft limit in the operations plan in 2009, and since then it's been raised and lowered. At one point we had 40 feet of water that was in the lakes due to draft limits that SEPA couldn't touch, 40 feet. Last year we recommended that we drop these draft limits. Last year we recommended that we drop Swan Lake, I think it was 272. But it was raised to 280. At the end of the day, what the draft limits are doing is leaving this water in the lakes to never be utilized at the cost of sales. So for example, total unused water for 2019 is 18.5 feet. That's approximately 7,465 million. Unused resources. Now, if we were to move from a wet year, let's say it starts raining right now, and we're going to spill, that actually doubles to 14,930, because the water that we left in the lake could have been drained, and we could have captured that rainfall and then refilled. So it actually doubles. So we could possibly lose 14,930. So this is the cost of the draft limits. In the operations plan, it talks about we have begun in the member utilities have begun discussion on not utilizing hydro for contingency, but perhaps using diesel for diesel contingency. So we want to keep fostering that communication to have a diesel for diesel contingency plan, so that the agency can start utilizing this 18.5 feet upwards of 40 on some years of water, and maximize utilization out of those lakes to maintain a wholesale rate of flow. That conversation is going to have to continue, but for this year, we don't have a deviation for now. Section 8 is just an emergency operations plan deviation. So one of the reasons that we can actually deviate from the operations plan is really only like four things. Safety is always number one. If there's a safety problem, then we got to do what we got to do. You can deviate from the operations plan as a function of safety. Declaration of an emergency by a member utility can have exception to the plan. Equipment damage, if one of the generators explodes or something, if we just don't have, or a transformer goes out or something, there could be a deviation from the operations plan. And then, of course, the supermajority board of the board of directors would constitute a way to deviate from the operations plan. Otherwise, no deviation without an exception. Communication, we were asked to put in a communication protocol, section 9.0. Our SEPA operations manager, Mr. Clay Hammer, is our main point of contact, so anything that has to do with operations should go to him, and he'll disseminate it amongst the SEPA. And then as far as member utilities, to assign a point of contact for each one of the member utilities to disseminate amongst the prominent respective member community leaders. The challenge we had last year was in the February board meeting, I was asked specifically if I had called the board and informed them of the decision on curtailment. And the answer was no. I said it was a Tuesday call. So we have, now we have a distribution list of 40 some odd people. And so, in terms of operations, SEPA has a meeting every week. And so if there's something that that the member utilities or the communities need to know, those that attend that should be disseminated. And then the final section is just where we are with draft limits. I mentioned that at 15 and a half feet, 7,000 to 14,000 megawatt hours depending on the year. But we need to, we'd like to put that in here for discussion in the future, where we'd like to keep facilitating diesel for diesel contingency and not diesel for hydro contingency, so that we can lower those draft limits, maximize utilization, and hopefully make it through these drought periods with above average deviations. That's it. Any questions?
Are there any questions? Thank you, Robert. It's very obvious a lot of work went into that to try to educate us on all the things that come into play when putting an operation plan together. And, of course, trying to foster some questions and thoughts as we move forward through this thing. So are there any questions from anybody? Yes, Bob.
Just a comment. I really appreciate the work he's done. My idea originally was to set a much higher one at IE, but the work that Robert did here went way beyond the thought process. And I think it's much more usable, and I really thank you for all your work.
Thank you. Anybody else? We have a motion on the floor to accept the operating plan.
Leases.
Get some lights.
What?
They just get to hit the lights, sir.
Yeah, yep. But we also need Lisa to...
In the kitchen. Yeah, we need Lisa for the boat. I mean, Wrangle's important, so...
First, absolutely. Do we want to take a break now?
Might be a good idea.
Might be the reasonable thing to do?
It's hard for me to...
Yeah.
It's hard for me.
I know, so if we take a 5-minute break now... Let's take a 5-minute break, then we'll have a vote on this.